Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 10. Now the Lord Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses." He told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And every true believer, every regenerated child of God wants to be just that. I do. I think most of you do. A good witness for Christ. An effective witness. But it's not easy. It is not easy. Finding the opportunity. Finding the words to say. Finding the time to say them. Knowing when not to say anything. And when to say something. Trying to speak in the power of the Holy Spirit. And not to damage and divide and butcher the souls of men. A skilled surgeon operating on the heart. You know, we require men to have some understanding and talent and gifts to operate on our bodies. But we just turn anybody loose on the souls of our loved ones to operate on them, to butcher them, to speak for God, to represent God, to teach men in the things of the living God. Paul said, "Brethren, I came to you in fear and trembling." Fear and trembling. Now, I know in this business of witnessing three vital things. Number one, there must be a genuine concern. Not for the growth of the church. A genuine concern for the well-being, the spiritual well-being of the person to whom we're talking. Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that we might have more in Sunday school than we did last Sunday. Or that we might have more baptisms than all the other churches in our association. Or that we might grow in numbers and increase in strength." No, sir. Listen to him. "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That they might know God." And that's the first concern of a true witness. He's concerned not for his success, but for his Lord's glory. He's concerned not for the growth of his congregation. He's concerned for the heart of that person whom he tells. He wants that person to know God. He's not interested in recognition. He's not interested in human praise. He's interested in that individual coming to know the Lord. Sincerity. Real sincerity. Genuine concern. Concern. Now watch this. Secondly, there must be that personal concern first, and then sincerity. Listen to Paul. He said, "I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh." I want them to know God so much, so desperately, that I could almost wish that God would take my name out of the book of life and put their name in its place. Now that's concern, isn't it? That's sincerity. And then thirdly, there must be a genuine concern, there must be sincerity, and then thirdly, there's got to be a word given. How shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There must be a word spoken. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Sometimes the word is preached. Sometimes it's preached. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Secondly, sometimes it's a word spoken. Philip joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. And the eunuch was reading the scripture, and Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless some man show me?" And Philip began at that same scripture and taught him Christ. Sometimes the word is preached, sometimes it's spoken, sometimes it's written. John said, these things are written that you might believe on the name of the Son of God, and believing, you might have life. All right, secondly, let's go to Numbers chapter 10. Now watch this. I'm sure of this. Effective witnessing, the kind that God will use and that God will honor, it must be born of concern, a genuine concern, a concern for the glory of God and for the good of that person. Now, anything else, God won't bless. That's the reason you don't see any boards up here telling how many's present. That's the reason nothing's counted around here and there's no records kept at all, because numbers mean nothing. One of the worst beatings that God ever gave David was when he counted Israel. He became concerned for how many spearmen he had and how many swordsmen and how many men of the shield and how many of this, that, and the other. Our concern under God and before God better not be our personal glory and pride. It must be His glory and the good of that individual sitting right there, that person. Doesn't matter how many you got in your class when you're teaching, is that person coming to know Christ? Does that person know the Lord? Does that dear sweetheart that's facing eternity and sin and guilt and judgment and hell, does that person know the Lord? Better be a concern. It better be a sincerity. A deep, godly sincerity. We're not playing games. You're not playing games. You're a surgeon. It must be a word given. Somebody's got to tell the truth. All right, let's look at this. In Moses, verse 29, Numbers 10, Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. Now listen to this. This is one of the most beautiful examples of witnessing. Notice its sincerity. Notice the compassion. Notice the simplicity. Notice the straightforwardness of it. Moses said, we're journeying to the place of which God said, I'll give it to you. Come thou with us, and we'll do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Isn't that beautiful? Come thou with us, and we'll do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Now you see this witnessing here. It's filled with kindness and love. You don't find Moses ridiculing this man Hobab because he's not an Israelite. You don't find Moses speaking harshly with him. You don't go with us, you're going to go to hell. You don't find that at all. You don't find this harshness and cruelty and this smart-aleck religiosity that we're faced with in this day. Look, listen to the kindness and the love and the tenderness. Come on, go with us, Hobab. We're the people of God. We're going to a land that God's promised us. God's spoken good. We'll do thee good. Come on, go with us. And notice how it's born of a personal faith. Moses is not saying, now there's a good possibility that if you'll come with us that some good might come of it. Now, he's confident of it. He had God's promise. He said, here, you come. He said, we're journeying to the place that God said, I'm going to give it to you. And God has spoken good concerning Israel. I'm certain of it. Don't go to try and talk somebody else into something you're not certain about yourself. That you're not confident of. Notice the confidence and the personal faith and the certainty. Moses says, we're going. God has spoken. You go with us. And then notice this. It's full of glory to God. It's full of glory to God. He says, come thou with us, and we'll do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. God's made some promises. And this witnessing here, this invitation, is born of compassion and love and kindness, and it's full of confidence and faith, but it's born of truth and glory to God. Now then, who are we? He says, come thou with us. Come thou, who are we? Well, we're the people of God. We're a redeemed people. Israel here in the wilderness is a picture of the church. Israel was a redeemed nation. We are a redeemed people. They had been redeemed by blood and by power. God redeemed them by the blood on the doorpost. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. They are redeemed, delivered by blood, by sacrifice, by death. And then they were delivered by power. God brought them out of Egypt with a powerful hand. He defeated their enemies and delivered them. And you and I are redeemed people. We're redeemed by the blood of His Son. Christ Jesus our Lord shed His blood for the remission of our sins. We're redeemed by blood. And we're redeemed by power. God hath quickened us. God hath regenerated us. God hath delivered us from the Egypt, from the bondage of Egypt, from the slavery of Egypt, from the fetters of sin. He hath delivered us by blood and by power. That's who we are. And then we're passing through a land as pilgrims. This is not our home. Listen to this. Now listen carefully. The believer may be the most contented man in the world. You may find that the believer, and if he is in real fellowship with God, he will be content in the world. That's right. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. To be content. Now, you run up on folks sometimes that act a little pious and say, well, I'm just passing through. I'm going home. I'm unhappy. I'm discontented. The believer's content. You'll find he's the most contented man in the world. He is not contented with the world, but he's contented in the world. That's right. I spent Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning in the hospital down in New Orleans, had some tests run and so forth, which proved to be very satisfactory. But I had a nice room, wall-to-wall carpet. I had nice meals brought to me three times a day. I had telephone calls. I had flowers sent. I had my sister came to see me, and her husband, Cody Groover, came. We had a nice visit. I was satisfied, but I wasn't figuring on making that my home by any stretch of the imagination. And I'll have to that's the first time I've been in the hospital in 40 years. I'll have to confess that about long Tuesday, you know, I began to get a little bit depressed. And I went in that little sitting room and got the Word of God out and started reading. Now, listen, bud. Now, you wait a minute. We're supposed to be content in whatsoever state God puts us. We're supposed to find rest. He has us there for a purpose. And we're to be content. And the believer is supposed to be contented wherever God puts him in the world, but we're not contented with the world. We're passing through. That's what Israel was passing through. They are redeemed people, bought by blood, redeemed by power, and they were passing through a wilderness. This was not their home. We find some joys and happiness. I'm happy this morning. I love you. I look forward to this. I thought driving to church this morning, how refreshing it is to look forward to going to the house of God and meet with the people of God. How refreshing it is. How wonderful it is. But now, I'm not figuring on making this my home. Are you? We look for a better country. We look for a city whose builder and maker is God. All right? Notice this. And we're living by faith. Israel, God met their needs. They were a special people. He says, you are a special people unto the Lord your God. You are special people. He supplied their water, and he supplied the bread from heaven, and he supplied the quail, and he supplied the pillar of fire to guide them at night and the cloud by day. He supplied their leaders, their under-shepherds. He just met every need because he had a special love for them. And God has a special love for us. He said he loved the church and gave himself for it. And he has special protection for us in His providence, and He has special guidance for us in our difficulty, and He's going to send us special trials for our good. Special trials. We are special to Him. That's who we are. When Moses said, Hobab, come with us, he was talking about a redeemed people. He was talking about a people passing through a land as pilgrims. He was talking about a people who lived by faith. And he was talking about a people who were going to a future glory and a future rest. They had never seen Canaan. Moses had never seen the land of Canaan. But Moses had God's promise. And that's as sure as having seen. That's better than having seen the land. God's promise. Now you asked me this morning, Preacher, how do you know there's a heaven? Well, you know what I'm going to answer? I'm going to answer the only answer that any man can give. I believe it on the basis of God's Word. That's the only answer you can give. I have no other warrant for it. Nobody's ever brought me a special message. God hasn't sent a special person down to talk to me and tell me there's a heaven. It's in this Word right here, I believe. And that's what Moses stood there talking to Hobab. He said, Hobab, come with us. Come, we're redeemed people. We're special people to the Lord. Bought by the blood, redeemed by power, a people of faith, going through a land as pilgrims. There out yonder is a beautiful place that God has promised us. A land of joy and happiness and rest and glory. Come on. Go with us. Go with us. All right, notice the second thing. Moses didn't threaten Hobab. He didn't command him. He didn't ridicule him. What did he do? He invited him. He invited him. He lovingly invited him with strong, reasonable words. Listen to him. Hobab, come with us. We'll do thee good. For God is with us, and God has promised good things for Israel. And whatever God does for us, He'll do for you. Come on, go with us. Now, someone may say this, Preacher, why do you persuade people to come to Christ and to believe on Christ when salvation is wholly and completely of the Lord? Salvation is a gift. That's right. Salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's right. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. That's right. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh I'll in no wise cast out. That's right. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. That's right. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it or perform it. That's right. But all saving acts must be performed by the man himself. There must be in every man a personal knowledge of sin, a personal repentance, and a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot be the act of anybody else. Now you listen to the text I read a moment ago. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, if thou shalt confess. He doesn't say if you wait on the Holy Spirit to confess for you. He said if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. Who believes? The Holy Spirit doesn't repent. He doesn't have anything to repent of. You repent. The Holy Spirit does not believe, you believe. The Holy Spirit does not cry out for mercy, you cry out for mercy. The Holy Spirit does not lay hold on Christ, you lay hold on Christ. That's what it says. I know his enabling power. And I know he makes us willing. And I know it's a work of grace to bring the sinner to that place. But I'm telling you this, that sinner believes. Let me give you an illustration. Over in the square of St. Mark in Venice, there's a giant clock. It's a huge clock. It's old, 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 old. I don't know how old it is and whether it still works or not. But on the hour, two bronze mechanical men come out of two doors. They have large hammers. And they come out on the hour and they strike a bell. And then they go back through their doors. Now, nobody ever thanks them for striking those bells, do they? Nobody ever stands and says, "Hey, bronze men, good job, fellas. Sure glad you struck the..." They're mechanical men. They have no... It's not an act of will. It's not an act of heart. It's not an act of motive. It's a mechanical thing. They do it because they are made to do it. That's the reason they do it. They are mechanical men. Grace has not reduced men to that. We're not mechanical men. We're not robots. All right. One time there was a workman working up there, and he forgot about those men. Totally forgot. He was busy working on that clock, and when the hour came for the men to come out, they came out, and he didn't see them. He totally forgot them. And one of them drew back and hit him with the hammer. And he fell to his death down below. Nobody said those mechanical men should be hanged for killing that fella. Nobody took them down and put them on trial because it was not an act of mind. It was not an act of will. It was not an act of the heart. There was no heart involved. And some people would have us to believe that sin and grace is this way. That we just, the will of God's done, and if it's done, it's the will of God through no fault of our own. No, sir. I'm accountable for my sins. I'm accountable for my rebellion. Because my sin is an act of heart. My sin is an act of mind. My sin is an act of will. My sin is against God. And also, my repentance and my faith is an act of mind and heart and will enabled by the Holy Spirit. That's the reason that we say to sinners, "Come thou with us, and we'll do thee good." You come. You come. You come with us in recognizing our sins. O God, against thee have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I recognize that. My heart is broken. My heart, not the Holy Spirit's heart. He's never sinned. My heart weeps over my sins. My tears cry over my sins. My heart is broken and my spirit is contrite over my sins. That's an act of the sinner. You see what I'm saying? Come thou with us in receiving Christ as Lord. I bow. My knee bows. My tongue confesses. My heart believes. My soul receives. My mind enthrones Christ to be King. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Not let them be forced down by the hand of God. Any man will bow if somebody puts his hand on his neck and forces him down. God didn't force me to bow to Christ. I bowed to him. God didn't force me to own Christ as Lord. I owned him. You see what I'm saying? I receive him. My heart receives him. Come thou with us. With us in recognizing our sins. With us in repenting. With us in receiving Christ. With us in love and fellowship. Our love, not the Holy Spirit. Our love. You love. I hate. You hate. I'm a responsible, accountable creature. And don't you hide behind the fatalistic notion that God Almighty will not charge you with hatred if you hate. God will charge you. God will not hold you guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. I love or I hate. That's right. By this shall all men know you, my disciples, if you love one another. I pray. That's right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who calls? You call. Who prays? You pray. Who seeks mercy? You seek mercy. Come thou with us. We'll do thee good. With us. Now watch this. He didn't ask Hobab. He didn't say, come and be a Jew. He didn't say, come and be a Jew. He didn't say, Hobab, if you don't become a Baptist, you're not going to quite make it. No. He didn't say, Hobab, now come and keep the Sabbath day with us. We worship on this day or that day or that day. You come and keep that with us so you can't make it. Come, Hobab. We've got some ceremonies, you see. There's a ceremony of this, that, and the other. Now, you come to these ceremonies and do them, and it'll be all right. No, sir. Come with us. With us. Become a part of us. Become a part of us in your soul and in your mind and in your heart. God blesses us, his people. The fellowship, that's it. It's a fellowship. Be identified with us in this repentance, with us in this faith, with us in this fellowship. Turn to 1 John a minute. Let me show you a scripture over here. I wish I could make clear what I'm trying to say here. In 1 John chapter 1, he says in verse 3, that 1 John 1, 3, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's the fellowship. Some man said to me not long ago, a very dear friend, that he'd been in church somewhere for a long time, and then he came here, and he found here a fellowship that he'd never found before. He'd never known before. You know the difference? It's a person, Christ. That's the difference. If you're in Christ and I'm in Christ, we're going to be one with one another. If you love Christ and I love Christ, I'm going to love you. It's not a program. It's not an organization. It's not a religious denomination. It's not people that have certain rules and regulations, you know, that all must abide by or be cut off from the fellowship. It's a fellowship. It's a family. It's people who are one in Christ. Come thou with us. And you don't become with us by just putting your body in a pew either. You don't become with us by writing your name on the roll either. You don't become one with us in fellowship by just adopting the doctrines. You know how you become one with us? It's to become a member and a part of the body of Christ, who is the head. With us in him. Come thou with us. Now watch this, and I'll close. Back to Numbers. And he said, verse 30, I will not go. I will not go. I will not go. I will depart to my own land, to my own people. I preach to folks. I preach here. And a lot of people, they listen for a little while, and they refuse. They don't immediately right off receive the gospel, embrace it, and fall at the feet of Christ and love him. But I'm not going to quit preaching it to them. Moses didn't quit either. Listen. And Moses, verse 31, said, leave us not, I pray thee. Don't leave us. You know why Moses knew there was nothing out there? Moses knew that God was with them. Moses knew they were special people under the Lord God. Moses had confidence and faith in where he was going and who he was and whom he loved, in whom he trusted. And he couldn't just say, well, okay, if you want to leave, go ahead. No, he said, don't leave us, Hobab. Don't leave us. And he kept entreating him, kept patiently. And let me say this, let's continue in prayer. If I am persuaded that Christ is with us, that this gospel we preach is the gospel of God's redeeming glory and grace, I'm not going to let anybody go in my heart. I'm not going to aggravate them and nag them and pressure them and keep insisting. I'm going to try to do it like Moses did here. Come with us. We'll do thee good. God's with us. And you know, they tell me, it's believed by many, that Hobab did finally go with them. Because they read about his people, the Kenites, dwelling in the land of Canaan afterwards. And it may be in the case of some of our friends and loved ones, that God will yet honor his word. He will yet. I believe that. If I preach and you witness and talk to folks, and let's ask God to give us the words to say. Give us the concern and the compassion and the sincerity and the confidence and the faith. And let's, brethren, it's not come to an ordinance or come to a congregation or come to a doctrine. It's come to a person with us in our fellowship with him. And ask God to enable us to have some wisdom in this thing. Come with us, we'll do thee good. Our Father in heaven, we want so much to speak a good word in season. We want so much to be delivered from empty, vain, idle words and arguments that gender strife and discord and division and only drive men away from the true knowledge of Christ. Grant us the patience and concern and sincerity of genuine witnesses for Christ who love men, who seek only thy glory and the good of those to whom we speak. Open a door, effectual door, a door of opportunity through which we might take the blessed good news of Christ. And like Moses of old, that we might with compassion and love speak to those about us, come with us. The Lord is with us. He's spoken good things concerning us. We'll do thee good. And though they say so often, I will not go, I'm going to return to my home and my family and my way. I'm going to do it my way. Give us the patience to wait upon thee, to lean upon thee. Give us the patience, O Lord, to be long-suffering to them as thou hast been to us, and to pray for them. Make us intercessors for Christ's sake. Amen. Don, you come and dismiss this with a song, please.
Turn to number 204.